Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd have a seat, please. Welcome to Stark County 2024's primary Meet the Candidates Night. This is brought to you by WKVI, the leader, and the Stark County Chamber of Commerce. I want to remind everybody that this is not a debate. This is just a Meet the Candidates Night. I'm sure the candidates would welcome you afterwards, one-on-one, to meet with them to answer any individual questions you may have. We had quite a number of questions submitted. The representatives from both parties have had a chance to go through these questions. We've combined some. If they seem like they might be attacked towards a specific individual, those may have been taken out. I remind you that this is a primary election. It is not the general election. We are selecting candidates. Indiana is one of, I believe, only 17 states in the country that has an open primary. So if you haven't voted in a primary election before, you know that you have to declare either Democrat or Republican, and that's the only ballot you can get, not both of them. You cannot cross over. In other words, if I want to vote for a Democrat for city council and I'm supporting a Republican for county commissioner, I can only pull one ballot or the other. That does not lock you into being a Democrat or Republican for the rest of your life. It just registers you in that party for this particular election. Each candidate will get 3 minutes, and what we will do is the candidates for each office, we will bring them all up and have them sit here at the same time. You'll have your 3 minutes. Please pay attention to these two ladies here that are going to give you 1 minute left, 30 seconds left, 15 seconds left, and then a big red stop sign. If you go through that stop sign, they have a pocket full of pebbles that they will be throwing at you. And then we will ask questions. Not everybody has to respond to the question. If a candidate feels that they want to respond, they are welcome to get up, and they have 1 minute response on those questions. Okay, we are ready to begin. The folks running for Stark County Commissioner, Lonnie Bolin, Tony Black, Mark Gurley, and Michael Vandermark, if you would come up and have a seat, please. And I have an announcement to read because Lonnie Bolin could not be here. So he asked me to read this. Good evening, my name is Lonnie Bolin. As director of the City of Knox Planning Commission, I regret that I am unable to attend the Chamber of Commerce WKVI Leader Meet the Candidate Night due to a regularly scheduled meeting on the first Tuesday of this month with the Planning Commission. It's my responsibility to the people of the City of Knox to attend all meetings I can, despite my personal agenda. Throughout the upcoming months, there will be several more opportunities that I can take questions and give answers to the best of my ability. I realize that not all issues with Stark County can be fixed overnight. Moving forward, if elected, we together can make a future brighter for all of us. Sincerely, Commissioner Hopeful Lonnie Bolin. I guess we won't ask Lonnie any questions, will we? Okay. So, first up, Anthony Tony Black.
Thank you, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Good evening, everyone. For those that don't know me, my name is Anthony Black. Most of you know me as Tony. I'm going to start off by giving you a little bit of background about myself. Excuse me. I moved here from Capac, Michigan when I was 12 years old. until that point, I came down, I spent the summers with my grandparents and also with my extended family. And until that point, that's where I lived. We moved to North Judson, where I attended North Judson St. Pierre High School for 2 years before moving to Knox, where I spent the remainder of my years of school. During that time, I worked at KFC, if anybody remembers that, and I did come to the rising rank of head chicken fryer. After high school, I met my wife, Rachel Newcomer Black. We decided to get married and raise our daughter, Courtney, here in Stark County. In 2005, I started my business, TNT Auto Inc., and in 2010, we built a brand new facility on State Road 8. Many of you have watched us grow considerably. I'm proud to say that we have employed as many as 14 people, and we currently employ 11. Over the years, TNT has sponsored many local organizations, such as Stark County Youth Club, 4-H, community services, and many more local charities and benefits. Being a small business owner, I'm very big on supporting local business and the community in general, such as all of my signs, shirts, and materials all came from local vendors, which I would like to go ahead and thank Shelly from Simon Speed Shop, also Nan from Oates Signs and Graphics, for supplying what they did for me at this time. Our community truly is only as strong as the people who support it. You know, when we go out of town or like, I don't know where everybody bought their stuff, you go online, that's easy to do. But honestly, Stark County, I don't think is growing. I think it's dying to be, not dying, but it's not like it once was. You know, I spent 4 years on Washington Township Advisory Board. I had the pleasure to work with Kathy Banco. 1 minute, wow. So we're gonna move on to that. I can't believe that's taken that long. My time on council has been very eye-opening to what's happening throughout our local government. I've been involved in many projects and helped improve our local needs. If chosen as commissioner, I could do a lot more for our county. My business will allow me to spend the time needed to be more involved and properly serve the county. I feel that the role of commissioner is something that cannot be taken lightly. If chosen, I plan to set hours to ensure that people can get a hold of me and address their concerns. Oh boy. I would also like to be in touch with department heads weekly about any of the issues they may have. I plan to drive the roads to just look at anything that the county needs. We are lacking a lot of things, and I intend to change that. So I'm going to go cut down. If elected commissioner, I will dedicate my time, energy, efforts to make Stark County a better place. Thank you. Right at it.
For those of you that did not get a program, these are the folks involved in Commissioner District 1, Republican Mark Gurley.
Good evening, everyone. I want to say it warms my heart to see so many people to come out and have the interest to see what their candidates, what the people who want to lead their government have to say to them. I am Mark Gurley. I am your Stark County Commissioner. 4 years ago, I chose to run as your candidate for commissioner. I did this because I knew all of you who are going to the polls to vote for President Trump deserved a candidate for commissioner on your ballot that you could cast your vote for in good conscience. Someone who shared your conservative values and would work with the Republican leaders you had chosen at the state and federal levels to make sure you had the greatest number of opportunities to prosper here in our community. In those 4 years, I've been an advocate for the strengths of Stark County. Every action I have taken as your county commissioner has been to increase the amount of commerce and the quality of economic activity available to you so that you could live your lives as you chose and pursue happiness in your own way. And we've needed every opportunity we could get in the face of the disastrous fiscal policies that have come out of the White House since 2021. My goal has been to reclaim as many of your tax dollars from our federal and state governments through the use of the grants and initiatives that were available to improve what we have here in the county. And we do this, I've tried to do this in a way that provides long-term strengths and not the short-term stopgap measures, which won't really provide any true opportunities for the stable growth we need here. As commissioner, I have and I will continue to work extensively to make our county a leader, an example to the rest of Indiana of what a small but prosperous county should look like. In recognition of some of these efforts, the commissioners of every county in Northwest Indiana, 16 counties that are north and west of Howard County, where Kokomo is, that's 48 county commissioners in total. They've, for the last 2 years, chosen me to be their Northwest District President on the Board of Directors for the Indiana Association of County Commissioners. And last year, in response to legislation passed by the General Assembly, the governor appointed me to serve on the newly created Indiana Civilian Cyber Corps Advisory Board, which will create a team of volunteer cybersecurity experts that can respond to incidents that cripple our infrastructure, similar to how we respond to natural disasters statewide. I proudly serve to defend your rights and liberties with honor, courage, and commitment. I am committed to excellence and the fair treatment of all. I am Mark Gorley, and I am your Stark County Commissioner.
And I've got to pay attention to your timing, because I've got to quit chewing my cookie with 30 seconds to go. Michael Vandermark.
So I got to be honest, I wasn't really quite sure what to expect here tonight, but this is a great crowd. A little bit about me. I grew up in Baroque, Indiana, which is a couple miles east of Stark County. Went to Culver Schools, don't hold that against me. Graduated with a conservation law degree in 2006. I also became a registered wildland firefighter at that time. Shortly thereafter, I moved to Colorado for a couple of years. Back-to-back years, 2007-2008, I climbed Long's Peak in the Rocky Mountain National Park. After that, moved back here. My wife and I built our house on the original Vandermark Farm here in Stark County. We've lived there now for about 15 years. Started farming row crops probably in 2011 or 12, and then raising Texas Longhorn bulls after that. 2010, I started an HVAC company here local. 2014, I ended up selling that to a much bigger company and taking a management position at Plymouth Foundry, where I am today. In 2013, my wife and I got married in Estes Park, Colorado, and really just focused on our farm work until finally, in 2022, we decided that we were going to have our first and only child, Adeline. After that, that's kind of led us to where we are here today. I've spent a lot of time talking with folks in the community the last couple months on this campaign trail, met a lot of good folks, and listening to their concerns. Some of the top things I hear about is, of course, industrial solar. A few things on that folks have brought to my attention that I think we can do some work on. A lot of folks would like to see a moratorium. A lot of folks would like to see a county acreage cap. Increased setbacks from property lines, property value guarantees, and property rights for non-participating landowners. And I think all of those things are maybe being slightly overlooked right now, and I think it's something that we should definitely take a look at as a community. I know that this has been a decisive topic now for a number of years, and I think we can work with the community to find a way to bring the community back together on it. Industrial solar battery storage is, some people say two different things, perhaps it is. People would like to see the county create an ordinance against that, and I agree that that is something that should be accomplished. Another thing that's been brought up in the county is the overspending. Obviously, we can't fix the past, but I think we can continue to work towards improving that in the future. Government transparency is a big one, and hopefully we can get that cleaned up in the future. Thank you.
So we can direct questions at all the candidates for commissioner. I'll have Republican Charles Chesnick and Republican Debbie Wapple come up, District 3 candidates. Sick will go first.
Thank you, Gary.
Good evening, everyone. I am Charles Chesick. I am the current Stark County Commissioner of District 3. I am running for re-election. I am a lifelong resident of our county. I have been married to my lovely wife, Maggie, for 9 years. We have 3 beautiful children. I am also a fourth-generation Stark County farmer. Our children will be the 5th generation of Chesicks to farm our ground. My wife and children are a very big asset to our farm. They jump in to help at every chance possible. I have loved every moment of farming. It is hard work, dedication, and decision-making at its finest. Farming has played a big role into helping me with my role as Stark County Commissioner. Some of my accomplishments while being commissioner are that I fully supported the CCMG, which is Community Crossing Matching Grant Program, that awarded funds of $6,174,325 for roads and bridges since 2017. Funds were applied towards some of our 58 bridges and 799 miles of roadways. During the historic flood of 2018, I supported countywide efforts to help with the flood damage. I supported the meal program for families during COVID using 2 grant funds totaling of $250,000. I worked with our first responders to recover to full staff and added ambulance rigs after the pandemic caused a nationwide shortage of paramedics and EMTs. The safety of our citizens will always be first priority. I've supported the remodels of our 1898 Stark County Courthouse. It is one of the county's main assets. It is, after all, 126 years old. I was president of the Board of Commissioners for a consecutive 5 years. I have been a drainage board member for 9 years. I also currently sit on the Planning Commission board. I want to continue making Stark County a great place to create a home and build a family. I will continue to actively listen to the questions and concerns of Stark County residents so every voice is considered. I believe the county can do better to find compromises for adjoining landowners of solar and changes to the ordinance. I will work to retain the rural culture of Stark County for the many that have lived here or moved here for that main reason. I will continue to support all local businesses that have in this great county. Also, as always, I will make sure to respect all taxpayers. I appreciate your vote on May 7th. Thank you.
Debbie Wapple.
Good evening. I'm going to try to talk very loudly. I know it's hard to hear here. I want to thank the Chamber and WKVI for promoting this and hosting this tonight. And I don't want to spend my 3 minutes talking about myself. That's something you can ask me later if you care to. But I want to talk about my awesome experiences of campaigning around Stark County. I've knocked on almost 600 doors in the last 5 weeks, and I have met people, and it's been my greatest honor to meet Purple Heart recipients, Gold Star families, and people of this county. And so I asked questions, and at first, yes, I went out for them to get to know me and let them know I'm running for commissioner. But it soon occurred to me, I'd rather get to know them. They're so interesting. And so to my surprise, I heard things I didn't expect to hear. What I asked them is, what are your concerns about Stark County? What would you expect out of a new commissioner? And they were pretty silent. It was very obvious that they want life without over-government reach. They're happy where they're at. They're content with keeping their properties as they see fit and letting their neighbors live as they see fit in their own lifestyles. So one thing became very clear of a need in Stark County and something people are concerned about, and it is safety of their private property. I saw numerous, many, many security systems, lots of guard dogs. I didn't know I could run, but I can. Lots of cameras, lots of warning signs. It made it very clear that private property protection is on the top of their minds. Now, some did mention that they want law enforcement to aggressively seek and prosecute aggressively drug dealers, thieves, and child predators. Now, there were a few issues brought up. I'm telling you, very few issues brought up. One was roads. We like quality roads, they say, and we'd like to have our roads well maintained. There were a handful of solar discussions, both pro and con, but it didn't dominate my visits. Overall theme is we want independence from government. Don't call us, we'll call you. And I don't think they have any desire to sit in boring meetings 2 to 3 to 4 times a month. So another thing that came up, they wanted to know, what is the exact role of commissioners and council members? And I'm just going to be very general. We are to take care of the health, the safety, and the welfare of our county residents. And that's my platform, and everybody could see it on my cards. I want to support strong police protection, strong emergency medical services, good roads for our safety, honor our veterans, and take care of the elderly. And we work together with the council to help make that happen in Stark County. Thank you.
Okay. Some of you have attended these before and know that when it comes time for the questions section, we sometimes get 2 or 3 questions. Maybe not tonight. We have a deck of cards of about 52 of these puppies. We have combined some of them. Again, I remind you of the format. I'll ask the question. Any of you that care to respond, please step up here. How will you ensure transparency and accountability in your decision-making process as a commissioner?
So that's one of the big things that's come up as I've been around the county talking with hundreds of folks. As Debbie said, it's amazing how many people will talk. But people are disappointed. They feel like the government right now is proceeding with things without the public knowledge. I did talk to a couple web designers. They think that we could potentially use the website we currently have to kind of get started. I know that other counties are using things like Facebook. So there's some avenues out there, and I think we can definitely continue to work on that.
I'd like to say, number one, I'd put a microphone in the community meeting rooms so that people can hear what's going on during the meetings. I'd like to ask strategic questions, probing questions, of the people before us to see exactly what they need, how they need it, and when and why, so that the public can hear it all during the meeting instead of before. And be out in the county and be not just an open door, but an ear among the crowd.
You know, I think we do a pretty excellent job so far already with adhering to our requirements given to us in the open door law. Yes, I agree, we need to upgrade our live streaming capabilities, to make sure, and we will have that. That's one of the things we'll be required to do next year by state law. It is my duty to be as open and transparent to all of you when it comes to the decision-making process that has faced the Board of Commissioners, and I am committed to that.
So unfortunately, my speech was longer than what my stopwatch said when I did it, because I timed that. Basically, yes. I mean, I think we do an okay job for what we're doing. I mean, obviously, yeah, we need to upgrade the equipment, in the commissioner's room and do that kind of stuff. But, the other thing, too, is being out there as your role as commissioner and going to the department heads and doing different things like that, so you can come back and be more transparent, know what's going on, you know, overseeing the things you're supposed to oversee and doing the things you're supposed to do. And that's how you're going to get that, so you can be transparent and let the people know what's going on. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
I've had this discussion with a few folks out while we're on the campaign, and I think the biggest thing is documents and stuff that can be seen easier, so they know what's coming to us in meetings and what's gone through meetings. I think if there was a way to, we need to look at posting some of that on the county page, stuff that could come to the commissioners' meetings. That's one thing I've been really considering what we need to do with that. Thank you.
Let me remind all the candidates, not this one sitting up here, that this is being broadcast on WKBI, and luckily it's radio and streaming, because Lenny and I both have a face for radio. But when you guys come up here, they have no idea whose voice that was. So when you come up to answer a question, I know it's going to be repetitive, but please state your name and then answer the question. Okay. What do you think most residents want from their officials?
More than anything, it would seem that in the interactions I have with people, what they want from their officials is a government that does not get in their way and does not cause them any more of a burden in life to face than what everyday living already presents to them. And I am committed to making sure there is as little red tape at the county level to be hassled with, and I will, and this will be an important topic next year. I will remain committed to ensuring that Stark County does not pass a wheel tax. I am Mark Gourley, your county commissioner.
I'm Anthony Black, Stark County Council. One thing when I talk to people about, you know, the same thing with that, what they want, is you're right, they don't want all the government overreach. They don't want that. But what they do want is a government that's efficient and doing what they're supposed to do. You know, they don't want somebody out here, you know, doing the things that don't need to be done. We don't need this extra little stuff. We need, right now, Stark County, we border Marshall. We got Porter. We've got LaPorte. So many other counties that have bigger tax bases than us. And they can afford to do so much more than we can. Our employees and everybody like that needs to, you know, we need to take better care of them and do things. And that way we can, you know, it's just one of those things where they just want less government, but they want a better run government. Thank you.
I just want to repeat what I said earlier on visiting 600 homes. I did not visit people I knew. I didn't visit those within my own circle or my own echo chamber. I went out to the other opposite end of the county where I didn't know people. I barely knew anybody. And I'm telling you, the responses were, we want fairness when we need you, but we don't want you when we don't need you, government. When there's ordinances to be followed, they want them fairly and consistently followed. I hear some, we need an ordinance on this, and turn right around and say, I don't want an ordinance on my property. So we need to look at the whole circle of evidence, of facts, and make the best decision that we can based on the best information that we can focus on gathering and using to make our decisions for the people. Like I said, they want to trust us to take care of county business.
Are you in favor of a battery storage in Stark County?
So I hear these debates all the time that property owners have the rights to do what they want, and I absolutely agree with that. And my comment to that is any industrial company that comes in has to fight through regulations. The battle is not between the local government and the landowners. The battle needs to be between the government, the local government, and the battery storage companies. We need to make sure that they're regulated to protect both participating and non-participating landowners, make sure that the environment's protected, and we're doing everything that we can as a county to ensure in 30 years we haven't created a disaster. So I am not in favor of industrial battery storage in Stark County.
A little bit on that. As of right now, I stand where I'm not in favor of battery storage at all. There's a lot of issues with that. And obviously, we would need an ordinance to regulate that company or industry when it would come, if it did approach the county. But right now, I feel we don't need that kind of issue in this county. There's too many things, variables with that. Thank you.
Well, fortunately, this is a problem that our state legislature has already solved for us. We have the regulations in place at the state level to make sure that these are managed properly if they ever come. As it is right now, they're not coming to Stark County. We won't have any solar battery storage to worry about for quite some time to come. And if it should come, we will have the procedures in place to make sure what's done is done safely and can be addressed properly, managed in such a way that it doesn't create any further hazard to our community than what's been done by some adversely, or things that have had an adverse environmental impact here in the past. But I look forward to working with our state legislators should we need to enhance things.
Again, I remind the candidates, when you step up, please state your name. Do you support ordinance change that protects innocent non-solar residents from having to see solar within sight of their property?
So this is kind of in the same vein as the battery storage. I think this county's done a really good job of setting up the ordinance to promote the solar in this county. And again, I have nothing against the landowners that did it. I think that it's a lot of money on the table. But I do think non-participating rights have been somewhat overlooked in this county. I've been to a number of meetings, and it does seem like the agenda is set. But I think this is an ordinance that's probably going to continue to evolve for 10 years from now. And it may be something that every year it has to be reevaluated due to changes and changes with the state. I think that's work to be done.
With that, that's one other thing on the campaign trail. We've heard a lot about solar issues and changing the ordinance and helping neighboring landowners with their properties also, which, I mean, that's should be done. I mean, there's a lot of issues that setbacks, the way the screenings are done, there should be more screenings. But the biggest thing was the setbacks. I mean, we're 50 foot from a property line, so that's quite a bit of difference from what it should be. And property values, I mean, we've heard all over the board, up or down, and that's, I want to see if we can have that something better in, on paper with that. Thank you. I'm Charles Chesick, Commissioner.
Again, I'm Mark Gorley, York County Commissioner. I will not vote for any regulation based on aesthetics. If we're going to start deciding what can and cannot be here just because someone thinks it's ugly, there's a lot of us going to have to leave Stark County. This is, well, okay. But this is not how you sanely regulate commerce. This is not how you administer a government that respects the rights of the people. This is how you turn an entire county into a homeowners association, where a committee, a select group of usually self-appointed individuals decides what you can and cannot do. And I will not stand for that in my home here in Stark County.
I've been known to be strongly in support of private property rights, but I also say, combined with a good neighbor policy, don't throw all landowners in the same pot and say people haven't worked with their neighbors. Number two, are we a trusted people or aren't we? I sat in a county meeting recently that they were, the many council members said, I don't like voting to approve paying for this, but we have our word to keep. And I sat in a meeting where, yep, sorry, problems happened. You shouldn't have bought blacktop from the county, but that's okay, we forgive you. So now we're saying we're gonna pull the rug out from companies that worked under our existing ordinances that trusted us. We're gonna pull the rug out from landowners who worked diligently under existing ordinances signed by people on the stage, brought into this county by people on the stage who now want to stop it. Can we trust each other or can't we?
Anthony Black here, Stark County Council. Just being a small business owner, you know, one of the things I truly believe in is, you know, private property rights, capitalism, and the American dream. You know, that being said, you know, I don't want to see anybody's property, you know, that they're discontent with it and things like that. But like Mark said, you know, there's a lot of things to look at here in Stark County that we may not find friendly. And I don't think we should do anything from the solar companies to go out from under them. But, you know, if it's one of those things where maybe we get some kind of grants or something like that, maybe we could do something in certain cases. But otherwise, I think we need to leave it alone. Thank you.
Do you support a solar moratorium?
Again, I'm Mark Orley, and no, I do not. I think it would be unfair, should the opportunity arise for another player to come into the market, to sell them, no, we're full, we've had enough. I think the market will decide how much solar we have in this county. I think that's why Charlie signed the ordinance he signed the way he signed it before I came into office. But no, a moratorium, a cap, is unfair to anyone who wants to participate in the market. I do not believe in installing artificial caps on what should be free and open market activity.
Anthony Black, Stark County Council. You know, while a moratorium may need to be discussed one day, currently it's clearly stated the current power grid required to support Stark County will be achieved with the projects being discussed currently. You know, I mean, maybe at some point, but what they've currently got planned, it sounds like we won't need that. So I think right now, I think where we're at is where we should be. Thank you.
So let's be clear, a moratorium doesn't mean that anything potentially is going to change for good or worse. A moratorium is just simply a pause. It's an amount of time to give some reflection on to what changes could need to be made for both participating and non-participating landowners in this situation. Perhaps there are some modifications because of new developments that need to be integrated into the ordinance, and that would be the time frame to get that done would be during the moratorium. Mike Van Demark.
When it comes to a moratorium, I believe that's something we need to look at, because we want to, there's, like I said before, there's so many variables that are coming out, and just a lot of people are concerned with everything now that they're seeing the projects. Now necessarily that a moratorium wouldn't apply to what is already in the process. Now, if anything was to be permitted or beyond what's going on now, that moratorium could affect that. But yeah, there's several issues. I think we need to do it just to be safe. I mean, the whole community needs to understand what's going on. Charlie Chesick, County Commissioner. Thank you.
We had years of planning. Did we not foresee some problems ahead of time? That's what leadership is about. These ordinances were signed, they've been reviewed, they've been reestablished. They were brought back to the Planning Commission. They were reviewed and reestablished. They were brought back to the commissioners. It was reviewed. Everybody got their say so that wanted it. There were 40 articles on WKVI over a series of years telling people there are solar projects coming. At what point is enough enough? I do not want to see the county covered with solar panels, but I do not want to go back on our word with people who trusted us.
Stark County government collectively rested the cause of the recent highway debacle on management style. They claim to have taken a hands-off approach concerning individual departments. Do you plan to continue that management style, pardon me, exhibited by the current Board of Commissioners and Council? The question has to do with issues regarding the Highway Department, that according to this questionnaire, there was a hands-off approach to that with not only the Highway Department but other individual departments. Do you plan on continuing that management style or more of a hands-on, is my interpretation?
Charles Chesick. I think with that, as we always expected, the head department heads are the ones that should be figuring out their budgets, doing what they were supposed to do, report to the commissioners as they are supposed to. And with the highway scenario, that was the lack of the department head out there doing what he was supposed to do. Now, when everybody says, well, shouldn't you have known about the budget? Well, you look at it, but then there was stuff not turned in to show that reflect in the budget. It's an issue, and I want to make sure we improve on what happened out there with every department. Thank you.
First of all, we need to be very cautious on who we hire. We need to look deep and far and wide to hire the best people possible. And yes, we should try to trust the people we hire, but we need to trust but verify. As a principal, if my superintendent saw there was a problem of mine and I said I didn't know, oh boy, not good. I would not be respected for that. I look at the 10-80-10 principle. After you hire good people, you 10% get them started, set the expectations for excellence, and watch what they're doing. Walk away for 80% of it, but be visible. Come back, check up, look at what's going on. And then the last 10%, you come out and you hold them accountable for doing what was expected of them. We have to be visible, and we have to be there and listen to our people. Listen to the people in the trenches. They were telling everybody what was going on far ahead of time.
Anthony Black here. Now I'm gonna kind of disagree on that. I think commissioners, which whatever you're over, I feel like commissioners should be also held responsible just like the department head. I truly feel like maybe you don't look at the books every day. I think we should have a liaison from the council to each department checking that stuff over as well. But it's so much more than that. If you go out here, okay, and you walk into a department and you see piles depleted, or you know that you're already over budget, but there's a brand new equipment sitting there, or you see equipment broke down everywhere. I mean, there's just so much more to that than just saying, well, you know, I'm pretty upset about that whole deal, being on council. And I think there could be a lot more done on all of that. I'm not saying micromanage you guys. I'm saying go out here and look at what the EMS, you know, look at what, you know, annex, what everybody needs, and be active with it. Thank you. Anthony Black, thank you.
When it comes to our elected department heads, yes, I do take a very hands-off approach. They were elected by you. They are as much accountable directly to you as they are to a county commissioner. As far as the appointed department heads, we do divvy up responsibilities amongst ourselves on the Board of Commissioners. And to avoid a situation that was highlighted in a film back in the 90s called Office Space, I'm not going to insist that all three bosses over one individual come around and give them a little reminder every time they mess up. With the departments that I've been designated the commissioner to contact over, I stay very involved, as can be, as I'm sure our EMS director can tell you. But the overruns, the unexpected expenditures happen, and we deal with them in a way that won't bankrupt the county.
So in my line of work, people make mistakes every day. We hire new people. And when you see those mistakes, you have to recognize the real problem. Was it the person, or did they not have the right tools for the job? My opinion here is, perhaps the county needs to look into creating the right tools so that this doesn't happen again in the future. And I think that could be easily done, and I don't think it would cost the county a lot of money, and it might even create a little bit more transparency.
Two left. What strategies do you propose for attracting businesses and investment to our rural areas without compromising its natural beauty and sense of community?
I think with that, we have the lakes and the trails for bikes and stuff like that, and for kayaks, there's launches being put in. I think with that, you know, people, there's going to be business or needed businesses for that type of stuff going on. And it's being a rural county, that's exactly what we would need to improve those areas. Thank you, Charlie Chesley.
So it's kind of interesting because a group of us have these meet and greets throughout the county, and actually all of us were there. I don't think Tony here could make it, but There was a giant group discussion about this very thing at our last meet and greet, and everybody chimed in. A lot of great discussion there. One of the things that brought up multiple times was how to utilize our park system and how to get more people to come visit Stark County. There was a gentleman there from Bass Lake that was pretty adamant that we could really focus on our lake system. We have Lake Max just into Marshall County, and perhaps more camping in the area. We've got the rivers. It's a new culture to really get into kayaking. So perhaps we can focus on that. It wouldn't cost the county a lot, but we could potentially get the word out to come visit Stark County.
I think that's great. The recreation, using the lakes and the rivers that we have, the wildlife, the woods. But the question was bringing industry in and probably income. I think when you bring industry and small business, you hope to bring income. Well, in talking to some people, which one of my strategies is going to be to find trusted advisors who have a lot of knowledge. And it was brought to my attention recently that if we bring more industry away, we don't have the work. If we bring it in, we don't have the workforce. So it's going to take workers away from our existing industries who have invested and hired our people in Stark County for years. Also, we don't have enough consumers to support a lot of small businesses. Having lived in the county my entire life, shopped here, worked here in multiple places, I've seen well-meaning, wonderful small businesses close one after another because they just can't pay the expenses with the income they have. So we're going to have a big influx of extra income coming into our county, and I believe we need to strengthen what we have and our assets and our fire protection and police protection and health and wealth of our county with that money.
So one thing I kind of mentioned, I'm sorry, Anthony Black. One thing I kind of mentioned earlier about county assets and things like that. So one thing, we've got the beach out there, you know, the campground, things like that. And on council, we give them a sizable amount of money because that is a county-owned property. And I think things like that, with all the new housing going out there, that gives us a little more revenue for the small business and things like that. Being a small business owner, I can tell you it is tough here in Stark County. I actually, I send my guys out Elkhart Way and things like that. And I bring a lot of our revenue back here to people here at home. But, you know, it's there's not an easy way, but yeah, the kayak launches, things like that would definitely help. Thank you.
We have a lot of wonderful resources here in Stark County that we need to leverage so that we are the most successful county in the state. The items that we can focus on, that I'm focused on, have already, some of which have already started. The broadband build out, getting fiber internet service to every home in the county, is the first piece of this puzzle. What we need are people. We need to attract folks from inside, and we need to have more folks born right here. I look forward to working with our hospital board to ensure that not only do we keep our hospital services, but we grow them so that we can actually have babies born here in Stark County again on the scale that we used to. I want to see, over the course of the next decade or so, at least homes for 1,000 new families in the county so that we can grow and spread the burden across more individuals and not have to pay more individually for the services that are necessary from our government. People, more people, will be the driving force between more jobs, more businesses, and more prosperity here in Stark County. I am Mark Gorley. I am your county commissioner.
There were a number of questions over solar, more than what we've already covered. We tried to combine some of those questions. I would suggest if you are solar focused, that you make it a point of getting together with these candidates and get their individual thoughts, directions they want to go in on that. Last question. What do you see as the most important issue to address in Stark County? How will you address it? And if elected, what's the first thing you'll work on?
So my sign says working for all the people, and my goal is to hear from everybody, as I've done along the trail. There's people that disagree with me, but their opinions count too. And I think the big thing is have more meetings with all the folks in the community, just like we're having here today. Get feedback and try to find the right compromise to make Stark County successful, not only for today, but 10 years from now. So thank you. Mike Vandemark.
I'm glad I'm the only lady voice because I keep forgetting to say my name. My name is Debbie Wapple. So the first thing I will do for this county is improve myself. I'll study, I'll learn, I'll ask questions, I will seek trusted advisors, not just those who think the way I think, and I will get out in the county to find other people to give me their opinions. I will work on seeking all kinds of information, asking probing questions, and use strategic thinking to make decisions. And I think what the best thing I can do for this county is to support the businesses and the industries that are here and strengthen our services that are here. Thank you.
It has been and will continue to be my goal to protect the individual liberties of you all, to develop incentives to attract new business, which will create jobs, to work with the council to find ways to fund better incentives so that we retain the quality county employees that we have and we attract new competent individuals without having to worry about pay rates that leave us with the individuals even Walmart doesn't want to hire. My goal is to enrich the strength of Stark County to make this the place that we are all proud to call home and that everyone in the state of Indiana is envious because they can't.
Well, that's just a very tough question. I mean, to really come out with a real straight answer with, you know, all the things we got going here in Stark County. You know, we've got problems with, you know, just the workers and just, you know, drugs. There's just so many things. But I think the one thing for me that I'd like to see is, with all the things going on, is building the trust back with the public on what's happening in Stark County, you know, doing the best we can to, you know, bridge, you know, any kind of animosities, because you see stuff on Facebook all the time and all the pages. And I just feel like we all need to work together, get everybody kind of back together and get everything straightened out, again, with the things that's happening and all that stuff. So, Anthony Black, thank you so much.
Charles Chessy. I guess one of the things, if reelected, first thing I would do is continue to make sure our employees are treated well. And obviously, I know a lot would like pay raises, but that's an issue in itself. It's a long process there, and that's and then continue to make sure everyone, all taxpayers, are heard. That's my goal all the time. And I appreciate your vote on May 7th. Thank you.
All right, that's it for questions for the commissioners. You folks can have a seat. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. County Council at large seats. Mr. Snowden had a work thing and couldn't make it. Todd Linebuck.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to thank WKBI and the Chamber of Commerce for this opportunity. As you will notice, I'm not prepared like the rest of the people. I have no notes. I have nothing. And this suit is mine, okay? Because most of you have never seen me like this before. Well, I'm Todd Linebaugh, obviously. I'm a lifetime Stark County resident. I lived in Hamlet for 62 years. My father was a doctor from 1952 until his untimely death in 1981. He was very instrumental in starting the Stark County Ambulance Service. So I have a vested interest in this county. I've raised three children. Two of them are here. I have three grandchildren. All of us went to Oregon Davis School and still live in that school district. In my career, I've held a few elected positions. I was town board president of Hamlet. I was county surveyor, and I was also highway superintendent. And let me tell you, when I was highway superintendent, you couldn't overspend because there was no money. So that wasn't an issue. Since then, I've worked for engineering companies. So I have quite a bit of experience in road construction as well as budgets. And one thing was brought up about the county highway. I am the liaison from the county council to the county highway, which doesn't mean I do not oversee their operations, but I do talk to Rachel on a regular basis to make sure that she has a cash balance and she's not overspending, because we actually set a limit on how much she could spend before she came to us, or before she could. And the other issues that happen out there, in case these aren't addressing the questions, I'm going to address them right now. A few of the things that happened out there were brought to my attention by whistleblowers. And I, in turn, brought it to the council's attention and also to the county attorney's attention. And those were resolved that way. And the overspending of the money. We appropriate the money. We do not oversee everything that they do. It's up to the department heads and the commissioners. So with that being said, in case that question isn't asked, I wanted to put my stand out on that. I was also elected vice president this year of the council. Nobody else wanted the job, so I got it. I've enjoyed serving. This will be completion of my first term, and I would like your support in the second term, and I'm gonna quit with 15 seconds left. Thank you.
I did. I brought everybody up that's running for county council.
I'm the only one here?
Well, you're the only one here.
Oh, my word.
Which means that you have to answer each and every one of these questions all by yourself.
All right.
No. Here's what we'll do, Todd. You didn't fall asleep. You were listening carefully to the questions that were answered before, whether they were about solar, the highway department, any of the rest of the issues that were raised. I'm going to take a little bit of executive leeway. I'm going to give you 3-4 minutes to address any and all of these questions that you would like to respond to. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I thought you remembered them. I thought you memorized them all.
I did memorize them all.
Okay. In general, your thoughts on the solar program
In general, the solar programs, let's set one thing straight right from the start. The county council has no control over ordinances or voting for solar. All we are the money mechanism. My personal feeling, and I've made this well known to some people, is I believe in property rights more so than anything, because I do have the tattoo on my hand that says don't tread on me, and I really believe that. But The only thing that probably should have been done, I shouldn't say probably, that should have been done, there should have been more maybe community input into what, how the ordinance was written. But unfortunately, after the ordinance is written, that's it. And that's really out of the county's wheelhouse, the county council's wheelhouse. All we can do is spend the money in a good manner. And that is our plan. Some people would ask, the land is actually being taxed at a higher rate than it would be if it was just agricultural. So we could have probably went with the personal property tax and taxed everything, and that may have lowered the tax rates. It wouldn't have brought in any more revenue. Then we would have had to look at different avenues to get that. So as what Mark said, I'm not in favor of a wheel tax because we would be the ones enacting that. No way. And actually, I've been thinking about this, and I think we need to consider lowering the county economic development income tax and placing that money in lit tax, which will make it go for what it's supposed to go for instead of robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's still the same money, but make it go to where it should be designed to go to. The county council, even though I know a lot of the things that happened, you may think were our fault, and that's fine, but we have tried so hard to make the budgets livable where everybody doesn't have to come back and ask for additional appropriations, with the exception of the highway. But that was completely out of our control, and it is under our control now, and I continue it to be that way. And some of you that have been in the meeting, you might notice that I'm the only one that votes no a lot of times, and I will continue to do that. I am a Republican, a conservative, a constitutional conservative through and through, but if I think something is not for the will of the people, I'll vote against it, plain and simple. I'm Todd Linebaugh. Thank you.
Most important issue to address in Stark County. How would you address it if reelected? And what's the first thing you'll work on if reelected?
That's a tough one. Well, the most important issue is, I think, our jobs and the social justice and the advancement of the county. Not necessarily in the advancement for a solar or for industrial, but more of the advancement of the people that are here to stay here and something to bring people here. Like, we supported the kayak launches, the council supported that. We supported the beach. We supported Coons Lake Beach. And those are very important. The first thing I would do if I was reelected would be to take a hard look about the economic development tax, lowering that and changing it, some of that to a lit tax, and I make a pledge that is what will happen. And I make a pledge I will vote against a wheel tax.
Stark County Surveyor Gwen Rentz is the Republican, and Thomas Schouten. I don't know if Thomas is here. He is? Okay. Thomas, you will speak first, and we have a question specific to the surveyor when you guys are done.
Evening, everybody. My name is Tom Schouten. First of all, I would like to thank WKVI and the Chamber of Commerce for providing the candidate night with the opportunity to speak for Stark here at Stark County. My name is Thomas Schouten, I just said, and I am running for county surveyor. I have lived here in Stark County for 25 years. I've raised five daughters. I am committed and invested in the community. I have been a member of the First Christian Church for 15 years, and the last 5 years, two of those I was a deacon, and the last 3 years I've been an elder. I graduated from Vincennes University with an associate's degree in applied science. I've served in the military for 25 years, the United States Army, where I achieved the rank of Sergeant First Class. I served 4 years in active duty and then continued my service in the Indiana National Guard for 21 years. In my job capacity as a motor sergeant for the Guard, I gained valuable experience in working with government budgets. And on the federal side, it's a little bit different. During my time in the military, my unit was deployed many places, both abroad and at home. In one such case, we were deployed to Camp Shelby, Mississippi, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, in which we will help facilitate and return the normalcy of the area. We set up generators, provided fuel, supplies necessary for energy, to establish communication and lights to the area. We also worked to help with a cleanup process and distribute aid for the displaced. Also, in my work experience, I have been judged to be a hard worker who is adaptable and can learn the skills required to achieve my goals. Furthermore, I have served as a county surveyor for over a year now. I have taken my classes and increased my knowledge, skills required to do the job. In short, I got 30 seconds. Well, I didn't time this right either. So I've worked towards the be a better surveyor. I reach out to other surveyors in our surrounding counties to ask their advice and certain things that might need to be done and that I don't have no knowledge of. So I try to reach out to other people. I'm not scared of helping anybody or looking for help. Thank you. My name's Tom Schott.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you to everyone that's here tonight and at home listening. I appreciate everyone getting involved in the local election. So my name is Gwen Rentz, and I am a Republican candidate running for Stark County Surveyor. I've lived in Stark County for 27 years. I've been employed by Stark County government for 17 years. In addition to working full-time, I also assist with field work with an area farmer doing planting season and fall harvest. And my husband and I share a great love for the outdoors. In our downtime, we enjoy fishing the area ditches and rivers. And we also enjoy finding morel mushrooms and searching for deer antler sheds and looking for Indian artifacts in the area and then relaxing on our small hobby farm. I also enjoy reading and studying the history of the Grand Kankakee Marsh and the river being dredged. I'm on some boards. I am vice chairperson of the Stark County BZA, a member of the alcohol board, president of the Stark County Government Safety Committee. I'm recording secretary for all four drainage boards, a member of the Indiana Wildlife Federation, member of the Indiana Association for Floodplain and Stormwater Management, and a proxy for the Stark County LEPC, and I'm a notary public. I'm also a certified IDEM stream monitor. I've attended several conferences and workshops that are beneficial to my current position as deputy surveyor, as well as beneficial to the surveyor position. I have attended basic and advanced GIS training. I have attended the AIC conference and surveyor workshops, the AIC legislative conference and LTAP drainage training, Purdue Road School, and recently Operation Stay Afloat, which was hosted by the DNR and Indiana Department of Homeland Security. Being that I've worked for Stark County government for 17 years, I am very knowledgeable about the policies and procedures of the county. I have a clear understanding of preparing and maintaining a strict budget. I am well versed on preparing payroll claims, bid proposals, preparing minutes, and board meeting agendas. I have great communication and work relationships with all departments, especially those that assist with the surveyor's office, such as the highway department, local emergency management office, drainage board members, and the contractors. I have a clear understanding of the importance of continuously monitoring and maintaining the county ditches for proper drainage. Stark County has over 640 miles of regulated ditches. My current position as deputy surveyor has allowed me the opportunity to firsthand see the roles and responsibility of the county surveyor. I have experience working with the previously elected surveyor as well as the current appointed surveyor. I would be honored for the opportunity to put my 17 years of county government work experience along with my strong work ethic, common sense, and knowledge to serve my fellow citizens of Stark County. I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
There were two questions for the surveyor. One had to do with the difference between a surveyor and a civil engineer, but I think that would probably have to be something that'd be Googled. Do either one of you know the answer to that? Okay. Okay.
So it is a difference in college degree and it's completely opposite. We have land surveyors, and then the civil engineer is behind all the designing and following through start to finish type of thing. So the surveyor is doing not the county surveyor, but a licensed land surveyor. Because there's also a difference between that and the county surveyor. Not all county surveyors are licensed land surveyors. Matter of fact, there's very few in the state of Indiana. So civil engineer, of course, different college degree, start to finish, and the licensed land surveyors doing boundaries and aerial surveys and that type of thing.
Okay, the question for both of you, what exactly does a surveyor do? And what do you bring to the office to be surveyor?
Well, as a surveyor, we basically take care of any county regulated ditches that are funded through taxpayers. We try to go out there and we look at all the ditches and get with the community, and sometimes it's the community that informs us what's wrong in certain parts of the county, and we'll go out there and look at it and identify what the problem is and try to fix it. Most of the time we might have to pull out a beaver dam or trap beavers. Sometimes it's trees that are in the ditches. We have to hire a contractor to go out there and pull the trees out of the ditches. It's just different all the time. No day is the same. Some weeks are really, really busy, and some weeks are kind of slow. But we try to do the best we can, and we try to spend the county money as best as we can. Thank you. Tom Shelton.
So one of the roles and responsibilities of the county surveyor is to keep track of 5% of the section corners each year, which that is contracted out typically. It has been for a long time because we haven't had a licensed land surveyor in Stark County for many, many years. And something else, like Thomas had stated, of course, is maintaining the ditches, having good communication with the highway department, the farmers, the citizens in general that are affected by watersheds in their area. Of course, it is also dealing with the contractors a lot and sending out bid proposals and following through with communication with them, making sure they're doing the job specifically as it was supposed to be in the bid proposal, not making sure they aren't dredging the ditch and too low, digging too much out. So it is a lot of hands-on out in the field, checking things out, looking for beaver dams, looking for log jams, and keeping an eye on things now when we've been getting all this rain. Thank you.
Stark County Treasurer to Republican candidates Kelly Graham and Lorianne Mann Venkus. Kelly, you're up first.
Good evening. First, thank you all for attending and listening. A big thank you to the Chamber, the Leader, and the WKBI for hosting this event. My name is Kelly Graham, and I am running for Stark County Treasurer. I am a lifelong resident of Starr County. I reside with my fiance, Kevin Lineball. I have two sons, Coy and Jonathan, and a wonderful daughter-in-law, Morgan. In 1998, I graduated Knox High School. In 2020, I had a home built in Knox. In 2008, I graduated from Ancilla College with an associate degree of business, and in 2010, I graduated with an associate degree of science from Brown Mackey. I did this all while working full-time and raising my children. I worked 10 years for a local garage door company. With that, I have 10 years of business experience through managing and processing all daily office operations with a staff of at least 5 to 8 employees at all times. I have 12 years of experience in an operating room, and with that, I bring 12 years of fast-paced, detailed-oriented, accuracy-driven work experience. I have 20-plus years of customer service experience. I wanted to get back using my business degree in my hometown and helping the residents of Starr County. I was offered a part-time position at the Starr County Treasurer's Office, working on Fridays, and I accepted. A month after, I was offered and accepted the full-time position as First Deputy Treasurer. I worked through the spring and tax season. I worked alone a lot and taught myself the ins and outs, the processes and communication skills needed in the treasurer's office. I gave many extra hours during spring tax season to make sure payments and balancing in the office were complete and accurate. I attended an SRI conference in Carmel, Indiana. This is a conference to learn about tax sales procedures and how to use the software. I attended the annual Fall Treasurer's Association Conference in Bloomington, Indiana. I learned new laws and procedures for being treasurer and met treasurers from all over the state. I attended these conferences by myself as a representative for the Starr County Treasurer's Office. As the Starr County Treasurer, I will bring 10 years of hands-on business experience. I will bring 12 years of fast-paced, detailed-oriented, accuracy-driven work experience. I bring 20-plus years of customer service, detailed service. I will bring my drive to succeed to the best of my ability every day for the county residents. I will maintain financial government operations that reflect sound public policies, follow general state and national standards, and treasury management. I'll provide needed public services for county residents. I'll provide better knowledge of information for the county residents and ways to pay your property taxes and easily manage them. I will use resources and software already in place to properly train the employees that are working in the treasurer's office. I will bring integrity, commitment, and liability. You need a county treasurer who has your best interest in mind, who will work for you, and will continue education to do the job to the fullest of the county residents, who has experience in education. That's me, and I'm ready for a change. When you go to cast your vote on May 7th, ask for the Republican ballot and vote for Kelly Graham. Thank you all for coming tonight.
Lorianne Manvenkis.
Good evening, everyone. I thank everybody for being here tonight and for the Chamber and WKVI for putting this on. I am your current treasurer, Lori Vankus. I first want to thank you for your support 4 years ago for getting me where I am today and for your support this current election. To tell you a little about myself, I'm the daughter of Aunt Laura Manns. I was born and raised here in Knox, graduated from Knox High School in 1992. I was a foster mom here in Starr County for several years and fostered 22 foster children. I've homeschooled all of my 12 children for various times during their schooling, including during COVID. I had a home daycare for 21 years. During that time, I was able to attend Kaplan University and received my bachelor's in criminal justice. I also speak Spanish, which has been helpful in meeting the needs of our Spanish-speaking citizens in the county while paying their taxes and asking other questions. During my term so far as treasurer, I've worked diligently at the amount of delinquent taxes in the county. I have kept that delinquent property tax amount about half the level it was upon entering office. I've also worked with taxpayers to help make the spring and fall amounts due to their property taxes a little more manageable by spreading that amount out over several months, which has helped to eliminate some of the delinquent amounts and save taxpayers fees as well as helps them from risk of tax sale. Since my time in office, there have been several ways that I have cut some costs and saved the county and taxpayers money. I have worked with the county bank in cutting out the bank and service fees, including lockbox fees during tax collection time, saving the county about $3,000 a year. This billing cycle, I received the pre-postage bill for the mailing of the bills, and it was substantially higher from last year's. Even considering the postage rates have been raised twice since last tax season, I contacted the company and they looked into it, recalculated, and came back with an amount almost $4,000 less. I'm currently investing in a new credit card processing service that will lower the tax fees to those using credit cards or debit cards to pay for fees or property taxes or other services in the county, but would exclude the courts at this time. The bills this year currently on the printer may be being printed as we speak, and they will be mailed out by the 15th. I've loved serving the public this past 3.5 years, and I look forward to being your treasurer again for the next four. Thank you for your support and your vote on May 7th. Thank you.
For our folks that go to Indianapolis and take care of state business, we have Spencer England, Jim Pressel, and Mike Bohacek. If you would please come up.
Good evening. It was a great session, and I'm going to spend the next 37 minutes explaining all of it to you, because I'm just going to ignore your time cards. So I'm State Senator Mike Bohacek. Thanks for coming out tonight. Thanks for hosting us. So it was a great session. We got a lot of things done, but I'm not going to talk about what we did in this session, because now we need to look forward about the things that we need to do going forward. You know, it's easy to talk about bills that we passed and things that we did. But we've got a problem in the 8th District. We don't have accessible labor delivery prenatal care for our moms. We don't. There's nothing here in Stark County. There's nothing in Plymouth. So my goal and what I'm going to strive and continue to work for and fight for is to make sure that every woman in the state of Indiana can be within 30-minute drive of good, high-quality prenatal and labor delivery care. We owe it to our kids. We owe it to our moms. We're a pro-life state. We need to be pro whole life and make sure that we have healthy moms, healthy babies. We absolutely have to do this. But then also we have another issue too, is about half the kids in the state of Indiana are born on Medicaid. And 40% of our families statewide are on Medicaid. And we've got to fix that. And the way we have to fix that is to do one big thing, and that's to elevate the income to the state of Indiana. So as we are looking at economic development opportunities, which the state does have a hand in that, and also so do our locals, is to make sure that we are holding them accountable to make sure that these are jobs that are going to elevate the wages. Because the only way to get folks off Medicaid is to make sure that they're making enough money so they can actually not qualify. And we can absolutely do this. This is the kind of things that we need to start working on. We are moving forward with trying to work on some of our drug pricing to try to get some arms around that, to get some lowering of those costs, because they are escalating way quicker than inflation, and a lot of that has to do with insurance companies and that buying process. So we've got to get our arms around that. That's very, very important to lower costs to all of us. Everything's getting a little bit too expensive. So you guys always throw those cards up. You just anyway. So I'm like I said, I'm looking forward to representing you guys again. I just finished up my 8th session, and it's an interesting place in Indianapolis. It's kind of fun that we can come down there with a bunch of great ideas, and you start out with 500 bills, and you whittle it down to about 190, and it's the way it's supposed to be. The process works. So I look forward to your support, and I have 30 seconds left, and I will yield that time to Representative Pressel.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Jim Pressel, State Representative, District 20. I am not in the Senate, and I thank God for that every day. So we make wise decisions in the House, and I like to poke fun at the senators because I can. So my opponent didn't show up here tonight, so I'm not going to waste a lot of time on a political campaign speech. You heard a lot of people offer up thank yous, right? WKVI, the leader, the chamber. I want to thank all the candidates that came out. I mean, how many candidates did we hear from tonight that spoke with so much passion? And that's what it takes to be a good public servant. These people are in it for the long haul, and it takes a lot of courage to get up here and do what they just did. Take those tough questions and really mean it. Talk to you from the heart. And then I want to thank the listeners. Not everybody can make it to an event like this tonight, but it matters. These events matter. The people matter. And I think you see a lot of that on the stage. You've seen a lot of it this evening. And I just want to thank you all for coming out and taking an active role in the democratic process. Thank you.
All right. Spencer England.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Spencer England. I want to thank you all for having me tonight. I love seeing the people show up. I am the only America First MAGA candidate running for state senate in District 8. My wife's here with me tonight. We have five girls. Two of them are out of the house. One's in college. The other one goes to Culver, and the other two are homeschooled, which I am a big advocate of. My wife and I both retired from the military. I'm a member of the VFW, the NRA, and I also teach class at the local co-op group, which my kids are involved with homeschool. I hear people speaking tonight. I want to say thank you to all those candidates that came out. It's amazing. We see a good turnout. And that's why I decided to run. People are frustrated. People are irritated. And needless I say, as a Christian guy, I have to say people are pissed. They look around us and they see what happened in the last 4 years. And one thing I ask people when I'm out there, are you as good as you were 4 or 5 years ago? And the answer is automatically no. So it is my job. Well, let me just say this. I've heard it said that it's a senator's job to go downstate and make sure more of your money comes back here. I completely disagree. It's my job to make sure you keep more of your money. It's my job to make sure the tax spending's less, that your property taxes stay less, even at my level, because President Trump has made great decisions that impacted you, and it's my job to support him, even at the state and local level. My number one issue, obviously, is the economy. We make smarter decisions. I'm not going to talk about the solar issue. I think there's issues that things we can do to address that at the state level. And also school choice. Never again do I want to see kids masked in school. Never again do I want to see parents looked at as second-rate citizens because you go to school board meetings and they want to kick you out because you ask too many questions. And immigration, guess what? It's affecting everybody, even at our level, in our local communities, and our state level. As being a veteran and dealing with the local care community in St. Joe County, I've seen a lot of issues. I'm actually gonna be put into a position with the local DAV as a trustee, and I've been working with those guys. That care needs to improve, and that's one of the places I really wanna be involved on the board level. And another place I am very strong advocate of is wetland protection. We had thousands of acres and we're down to about 3% of what we had. And my question is, how much more before it's all gone? Thank you, appreciate it.
Leon Smith.
Hi, my name's Leon Smith. I'm a communications engineer and a Haskell programmer and consultant. I have lived most of my life in Indiana, and I want to thank the state of Indiana for providing me with a first-rate public education and the chance to learn from excellent math teachers such as George Irvin from Triton High School and Dr. Julian Gevritz from the Indiana Academy, my alma mater that I graduated from in 1998, and John Michael Dunn, the first the first dean of the Luddy School of Informatics. I have learned valuable lessons from each of these individuals, and it is time for us to restore respect for teachers. It is time for us to pay teachers a fair wage that doesn't immiserate them. It is, if we want to increase the income of Indiana, we are going to need a good education. And I can tell you how to create a great math education curriculum for Hoosier students. I am running to apologize for the Indiana Pie Bill by teaching children about the Sternbroko tree and how you can use it to round 3.14 to 22 over 7. I want to teach children how to program computers and get them started with that. I am running to make America honest again. We need to crack down on white collar and corporate crime here in Indiana. And we need health care for all. The situation in Indiana is quite honestly ridiculous. So that's a bit about me and what I find important. And I would ask for your vote this primary and again in November. Thank you.
I know you gentlemen are absolutely heartbroken, but we used up all the questions for the commissioners and for the county council. So, thank you. Is Lori Camp here? Yes? Okay. Lori is the Democrat running for U.S. Congressman in District 2.
Hi, I'm Lori Camp, and I am running to represent Indiana 2nd District in Washington, D.C. Yeah, I know, you hear my voice shaking. That's because 2 months ago, I didn't expect to be here. 2 months ago, I looked, and there was no one running as a Democrat in the 2nd District. And one of the most important things that I have tried to teach my daughter, my husband and I, is that voting is important, and as important is that people have a choice when they vote, right? You have candidates up here primarying each other. So I said, if not me, who? And when I started to look at the candidates that typically run for Congress, there was nobody like me. I'm a working class girl. When I talked to somebody about how I signed up, they said, can you run this paperwork down to Indianapolis on Friday? And I said, no, I work. I work 8 to 5. I have a kid in college. I'm paying for that. I put myself through school. I am the first college graduate in my family. I did that while I worked at Martin's Supermarket. I'm from the south side of South Bend, and I worked at Martin's from the time I was 16 until actually after I graduated from college, because my degree is in criminal justice like someone else's, and I was working in criminal justice, and I still needed to work a second job to make enough money to live. So then I decided that criminal justice wasn't going to cut it, and I had to look for a better job. And on the day I filed, it was my 26th year with a software company that I started at in 1998. In that time, I have volunteered with my daughter at her schools. She went to public school, graduated from a public high school. Is currently 10th in her class or something. Is currently attending a college. She's a D1 diver. I ended up somehow coaching high school diving, and have had 4 girls go to the state competition, so I know how, if someone sets a goal, to get it done, and that is what I intend to do when I get to Congress. I'm gonna instill real people values, right? Because we're not represented right now. My opponent didn't even bother to show up to talk to you people. And I came because I want to see people like me in Congress, and the only way we get that is if people like me or like you can run. I don't have any big backers, no super PACs. every donation I get is from a person like you, from $5 to more. My kind of spiel is, if you'd see me out for coffee and buy me a coffee, send me $5. If you're going to see me out at a bar, buy me a drink, I'm going to go for the frilly one, so send me 15. But I just want to say, I am a regular person like you, and I would appreciate your vote. I'm not primaried, so in the real election in November. Thank you.
That covers all of our candidates. I want to thank you all for staying awake. I want to thank you all for being well-behaved. I want to thank WKBI and the leader and the chamber for putting this together, especially the chamber directly, Shannon Huckman. I want to thank our two timekeepers. You guys did amazing. You only had a couple folks go a few seconds over. That's great in my book. I've said this before at other Meet the Candidates night. Thank you. Jim said it, kind of stole my thunder a little bit. But thank you to everybody who's running. You know, it's real easy to sit and complain, but it's not always so easy to stand up and do something about it. So for all of you that are running for office, good luck. Again, May 7th, if you're not registered to vote yet, you have a few more days, but not long. That's for the primary election. General, when we actually elect the office holder, is in November. Thank you to everybody that showed up. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.